Tonight is Christmas Eve. We will be taking a break from our study of 1 John in order to look at the account in the Gospel according to Luke of the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ by an army of angels to a group of shepherds. Why shepherds? Why did God choose to make this most important announcement to a group of lowly and despised people? We'll talk about that today. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we look today at this very familiar passage in the Gospel according to Luke of the visitation of the shepherds by an army of angels and the announcement of the birth of the Christ child, we pray that you would grant to us wisdom and understanding and insight, that we might see the purpose behind this, and that we in turn also might glorify God. Please forgive our sins, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God. I'm reading today from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Amen. This is God's holy and inspired word. May he add his blessing to our understanding of it this day. Since this is Christmas Eve, many churches are performing what are known as Christmas pageants. And in those pageants, you have a very crowded assembly of characters. You've got Mary and Joseph. You've got the baby in the manger. You've got shepherds. And you have usually three wise men, magi from the east. Camels, donkeys, and a choir of angels singing. What we discover when we look at Scripture, however, is that not all of these characters were there on that first night when Jesus was born. The shepherds certainly were, and that's the account that we're looking at today in Luke chapter 2. They went and found the baby Jesus lying in the manger the night that he was born. And we know that the angels did announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to those shepherds. The Magi are recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew. They traveled from the east because they saw his star in the heaven. They calculated what was going on, and they were led first to Jerusalem to the court of Herod the Great, who became the great enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. From there, they were sent on to Bethlehem. And when they arrive at Bethlehem, they discover the family of the Lord Jesus Christ not in a manger, not in a stable, but rather in a house. They also offer lavish gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The fact that they showed up sometime later and not within the first week that Jesus was born is indicated by the fact that on the eighth day, when Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to have him circumcised, they offered the offering of a poor family, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, rather than an offering that they could have purchased with the gold that was given them later on by the Magi. Also, Herod the Great, when he discovered that the Magi had not returned to tell him about the Christ child, put out an order to kill all the baby boys in the vicinity surrounding Bethlehem who were 2 years old or younger. Now, it's possible that he put out an order that he knew would cover anybody and everybody, and therefore he upped it to 2 years. But it is also possible and most likely that the Magi did arrive sometime later after the birth of Jesus Christ and not on the night in question. Let's turn to look at what is said here regarding the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Shepherds were a poor and despised group of people. Why then did God choose to make this most important announcement to a group of people that were discounted by the majority of society? He did so because, well, in the first place, Jesus Christ tells us that Isaiah 61 refers to him when he begins his public ministry. He reads from that passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And so the Lord Jesus Christ was sent, and part of his mission as an adult, as the Messiah, as the Christ, was to bring salvation to the poor. And so the fact that this group of shepherds were poor doesn't in any way disqualify them. In fact, we read in Scripture that God Himself identifies Himself as the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," Psalm 23 begins. When the Lord Jesus Christ engaged Himself in His public ministry, He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And so Christ identified as the good shepherd. David was a shepherd before he became king, and Christ is the greater son of David. And so throughout Scripture, we see that while shepherds may be despised by men, they are held up before us by God as the example of who God is and what God's Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was come to do as the Good Shepherd. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Bringing with him the glory of God from heaven itself, the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, a glorious brightness that shines and can be seen in Scripture. It's the presence of the Lord that lights up the night sky. Now, these words, "the glory of the Lord," were first used in the Old Testament to relate to the giving of manna to the Israelites in the wilderness during their 40 years of wilderness wandering. And so the giving of daily manna was an expression of the glory of God. The glory of God appeared as the Israelites traveled during those 40 years in the wilderness. It appeared in the cloud that followed them. This was the same glory that covered Mount Sinai while Moses was on the top of the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. Exodus 24 says, "The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud." So what was this glory like? Exodus 24:17 says, "Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel." We're told in the book of Hebrews that our God is a consuming fire. Now, this is the same glory that we read about later on that fills the tabernacle in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 30. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." This glory of the Lord flashes forth with fire and consumes the offerings of Aaron and of his sons when they were consecrated as priests. In Leviticus chapter 9, it says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." So God promised that all the earth would be filled with His glory in spite of the testing and rejection of Him by so many people, by the Israelites in the wilderness. The glory cloud filled the temple when Solomon prayed. As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, it says in 2 Chronicles 7, "Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple." So the seraphim who stand in the presence of Almighty God cry out in Isaiah's vision in Isaiah chapter 6. One calls to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." This glory of the Lord departed from the temple in Ezekiel's vision, in Ezekiel 10 and Ezekiel 11. First, the cherubim who stand on the outside of the house of the Lord see the cloud filling the inner courtyard of the temple. But then the glory of the Lord moves away from there and it goes to the threshold of the house and stands over the cherubim. And finally, the glory of the Lord goes up from the midst of the city and stands on the mountain outside of the Jerusalem on the east side of the city. And so Ezekiel sees this vision of the glory of the Lord departing from the earthly temple. But the glory of the Lord came into that spiritual temple that Ezekiel saw in his vision in chapter 43. "As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple." And so, as the glory departed from the physical temple in Ezekiel's earlier vision, later on in this vision of the spiritual temple, the glory fills that temple. And this is a prophecy that is fulfilled as it is prophesied by Habakkuk. "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And so eventually this will be the fulfillment of that great prophecy. So think about this glory that's presented throughout the Old Testament, this glory that is a consuming fire, this glory that is terrifying, and angels who are terrifying. It's no wonder that the shepherds tremble with fear and they fall on their faces before the holiness of the angels and the holiness of God, because they act as all men always do in the presence of a holy God. They are struck with their own sinfulness. Isaiah, in that vision I mentioned earlier, says, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have beheld the Lord of glory." And so Isaiah understood his sinfulness. The shepherds understand their sinfulness, and they tremble in the presence of the holiness of the glory of Almighty God. But the angel has words of comfort for them and for us. Remember, the angels are speaking to the shepherds. And as I mentioned earlier, in Psalm 23, God is our shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is the one who looks after us like a shepherd. He provides for us as a shepherd does. He provides us food and shelter in our need. He takes care of His sheep. Jesus, as I mentioned, is the good shepherd. He is the one also who gave His life for the sheep. We are all like sheep who have gone astray, but Jesus came to return us to the fold of God. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And I have other sheep who are not of this fold." He's talking about the Gentiles who would be converted through the preaching of the apostles after Jesus' death and resurrection. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and so there will be one flock and one shepherd. He says he lays down his life for the sheep in John chapter 10. And as I mentioned, David was a shepherd long before he was king of Israel. And so this training for being a shepherd prepared him to lead the people of God, Israel. Jesus is the fulfillment of all that David is the type of. Christ is that fulfillment. He is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd par excellence. He is the one to whom we are to go. He is the shepherd who seeks his lost sheep and provides for us. And so in all of these things, it is fitting that the angels comfort the shepherds who hear the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. These shepherds are terrified. They are falling on their faces with their heads to the ground. They are afraid of the holiness of the angels. They are afraid of the glory of God. And all of this because they recognize their sinfulness in the presence of these holy angels and this holy glory. But the angels have an announcement for them that also applies to us as well. The angel says to them, "Fear not, do not be afraid, stop being afraid." And the reason is he is going to announce to them the birth of the Christ child, the birth of the one who takes away the sin of his people, the birth of the one who takes sinners such as we and brings us into the family of God. We are adopted into his family as we come to Christ through faith and are justified by Almighty God. And so what is transformed is our fear. Yes, we still fear God. We are to fear God. God is holy and awesome. And no matter how holy we grow, we still will never completely be what we ought to be in this life. And so the angels announce to the shepherds, don't be afraid. They're going to talk about the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for his people, and that this brings about peace with Almighty God. And so the shepherds do not need to fear. They're to trust in the one who is born that night. You do not need to fear if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. You will discover that Christ has paid the penalty for your sin. You will discover that he has made all things new and he has transformed your fear to a holy fear of reverence and awe and respect and service. The angel says to them, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy." What he is saying is the same thing as I announce the gospel to you. The good news, the glad tidings that the angel announces is the word from which we get the idea of preaching the gospel. And so the angel of the Lord is announcing the gospel message to this band of lowly shepherds. It is a message of great joy that shall be for all people. What could be greater joy than to realize that God himself has brought about the answer to your greatest need, to man's greatest need? That is, we are sinners in the sight of a holy God, and we are cleansed by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That the sacrifice of the very Son of God pays the penalty for our sin. That's good news for all kinds of people, regardless of age or race or sex or social standing or wealth or education. All kinds of people throughout all of humanity. So even though this is a promise of great joy for all people, it is still a promise that is only for those to whom the gospel belongs. The gospel is brought about in the lives of the elect of God. Those who reject the gospel message cannot ever receive the joy that the gospel alone brings. The angel says to them that this Christ child is born in the city of David. And that's, of course, the town of Bethlehem. It's called the City of David in Scripture because it was here that David was born, according to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's also here that David tended his father's sheep. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Savior is the interpretation of Jesus' very own name, because Jesus' name means Savior, according to Matthew 1:21. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so this is the announcement that the angel gave to Joseph prior to Christ's birth. This is the announcement that the angel is giving to the shepherds, that this is the Savior who is born. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew term Messiah, and both of those words mean the Anointed One. He is anointed by God to be King and Savior. He is our prophet, priest, and King. He is our prophet because Jesus Christ reveals God to us. He is our priest because he offers himself as the sacrifice for our sins, and he continues to pray for us from the right hand of the throne of God on high. And he is our King because he rules and reigns in our hearts, and he subdues all our sin within us as he subdues us to himself, and he is in the process of subduing all of his and our enemies as well. He is also called the Lord here, an indication that Jesus, the man, is not only a man, but he is also God. He is God come in the flesh. As the only Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ alone is equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit in eternity and in power and in glory. He is the divinely appointed King of the whole universe. And so the angel is announcing to these shepherds the birth of one who is both God and man, fully God and fully man, the one who is prophet, priest, and king, the one who is our Redeemer and our Savior, the one who saves us from the consequences of our sins before a holy God. As proof of the truth of what he is saying to the shepherds, the angel offers them a sign, and this shall be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And so this is totally different from what ought to have been expected. A baby wrapped in slips of cloth, lying in an animal's feed trough, a manger. Instead of being in a plush bed, in a palace of a king, the King of the universe came and was born in humble circumstances. The King of the universe is there, lying in a manger as part of a poor family. And yet this is God's wonderful plan of salvation, the humble birth of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see then that this is God's way of redeeming us, that he has brought about this humble birth of his Son, the Incarnation. And this is indeed announced to the shepherds by this holy angel from above. It's the sign that they can look forward to seeing, a babe wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in an animal's food trough. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The single angel is joined by a host of angels. The fact that that word host is used here indicates an army. For in the Old Testament, the host of the Lord is the army of the Lord. This is an army of angels that appear in the sky. God sends now many more angels to proclaim peace. Think about this. Here's the army of heaven coming to proclaim peace on earth. The angels have been with Christ in heaven, and now they are pleased to announce his incarnation, his birth to these shepherds. Christ has come as the Savior of sinners. This is the event that the Bible tells us even angels long to peer into. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says about the Old Testament saints, to them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us They were ministering things that have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit from heaven, things which the angels desire to look into. And the word that's used there to describe this, the angels is standing on tiptoe, peering down to see what God has done. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, is born in lowly condition, and yet this is awesome proof to them of God's great love for men. They say, glory to God in the highest. All of creation brings glory to God. Throughout the scriptures, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. In the book of Revelation, we read of men and angels all falling before God and singing His praise and giving Him glory. All of creation shouts the glory of God. And on earth, peace, it says. Peace is brought to earth, that is the peace between God and sinful men. It's brought by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was born as this baby there in the stable in Bethlehem. Peace is reconciliation between God and sinners, a reconciliation that is brought about by what this Christ child will go on to do as He becomes a man. He will take our sins upon Himself and go to the cross and bleed and die on behalf of all of the elect of God. And He will provide for us His holy righteousness so that we may be declared right in our standing before God, because we have imputed to us and received by faith the righteousness of Christ. And so it is that righteousness that Christ alone provides. It is that sacrifice that Christ alone gives that provides the way of reconciliation so that there is peace on earth between God and man. Peace toward men is goodwill is expressed there. Now, it's not peace toward men of goodwill because there are no such characters. We are all sinners in the sight of a holy God. And so it's not that God is announcing peace toward people who deserve it. Rather, He is announcing peace to those of us, all of us, who do not deserve His peace. It's His good pleasure. It's His goodwill that He announces to us in the birth of the Christ child. Christ did not die for men who deserve to be saved in any way, shape, or form. There are no men of goodwill for whom Christ would die. Christ instead died for the elect of God, and that we are all sinners saved by God's grace alone. So it's peace that comes to us, goodwill that comes to us from God, because it is God's gift to us in Christ. He's pleased with, and His favor rests then upon sinners, not because we deserve it, but because God has sovereignly decreed it. He has decided to save His people from our sins by the sacrifice of His Son. And so this announcement that the angels give to the shepherds is an announcement of God's marvelous grace. It is not an announcement of men being worthy and deserving of anything at all. They announce the birth of Christ as the Savior of those who cannot save themselves. And then they vanish. They disappear back into heaven. Suddenly, the sky that was lit up with the glory of God is dark again. Suddenly, the angels who were there making this wonderful announcement have ascended back into glory after proclaiming this message of great good news. And so what happens at this point? What do the angels do following the announcement? What did the shepherds do following the announcement given to them by the angels? The shepherds look at one another after the angels have departed, and they say, let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they respond to the angelic message. The fear in their hearts at the presence of the first holy angel and then all the host, the army of heaven, has vanished away. It has been replaced with an understanding and a joy from that message of peace that God has proclaimed. And so they, without doubting, at once leave their sheep there in the wilderness, and they set out at once for Bethlehem to see the events that have been proclaimed to them. They go in haste, it says, and they find things exactly as they had been proclaimed. They find Mary and Joseph there in the stable, and they find the baby Jesus lying in a manger. They discover things exactly as they have been foretold. This confirms the angel's words. This shows to us the humble birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a stark contrast between Christ's outward situation there and who he truly is. He is the King of the universe. He is the King and Lord of glory. And yet here he is lying in an animal's food trough in a stable in Bethlehem. And so the situation that your human eyes could see differs entirely from the situation as it really is. The one lying in that manger was ruling and reigning the entire universe, even at that moment. He is King and Lord of glory. He is both God and man at the same time. He did not cease to be God when he became a baby. And so he is still fully sovereign, even there in that manger in Bethlehem. It contrasts his kingship with his lowly and humble beginning. So what do they do? Having come to Bethlehem, having met the Christ child, having seen Mary and Joseph, the Bible tells us, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." They couldn't keep quiet. Their lives had been changed forever. Their lives had been changed forever by the announcement of the gospel that they had heard from these angels in heaven. Their lives had been changed forever when they saw the truth of that announcement, having gone to Bethlehem and seen the Christ child. And therefore, from this moment on, because they are changed men, they are full of praise for God. They praise God because God has prophesied these events. God has fulfilled those prophecies. And God has proclaimed that message to them through these holy angels. And therefore, they go and do the same thing. They tell everyone they meet that they have met God's Christ, that they have met the Messiah, and that God has performed this wonderful miracle in bringing about the birth of his Son as our Savior. So how are you responding to Jesus Christ this Christmas? Are you content to sit around a Christmas tree and open presents and drink hot chocolate or eggnog and talk about the wonderful things that you got in terms of earthly presents? Or are you full of the joy that these shepherds show from knowing that this day is a reminder of the birth of Christ, that Christ is the one who is our Savior? If you've heard this heavenly message, even if you never heard angels with your earthly ears, you have read about that message in the Word of God. If you've heard this message, then you ought also to tell others as the shepherds did. You ought to go forth and broadly proclaim the birth of God's own Son as our Savior and as our Redeemer. He is the one who deserves all the glory and honor and praise, for his Son is the Savior and Redeemer of sinners. If you're not worshiping the Son of God and telling others about him, then you really have missed the true meaning of Christmas. Amen. Let us pray once again. Almighty and gracious God, how we thank you that you sent these holy angels from the realms of glory to proclaim the birth of your Son to these lowly shepherds who were transformed by the message. Father, I thank you for working that transforming work in the hearts and lives of your elect throughout history. And I pray today that this might be a time that that message of power would go forth by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that those listening or watching to this message and other messages like it being proclaimed today might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, we know that this is a work that your Holy Spirit does, and so we pray that you would open hearts to believe the gospel message. Give insight and wisdom and faith to your elect people, that they might turn from sin and trust in Christ even today. We thank you. We thank you that you indeed are holy, and the whole earth is full of your glory and the glory of your only begotten Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with me this week, and I look forward to continuing our study in 1 John next week.